You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Fosma Moon, and Seth Miller.
Hello, and welcome to episode 600 plus one
of Dots, Lines, and Destinations.
Live from Colombo?
Colombo, Sri Lanka. And that's just for you, Ed.
Just for you, Ed. We're doing it for you. We are here, just Foz and I, doing a bit of travel, and we're gonna talk about some news.
With more questionable life choices, as always.
We'll talk about how we got here, my fiasco, in the bonus. But news-wise, there's been a big shakeup at AA.
Yes, there has.
What's going on?
Well, a bunch of people got fired, and a bunch of people got moved around. And so basically what that comes down to is, I'm pulling up my notes right here. Allegedly, the people that have been pushed out are all ex-Vasu loyalists. So apparently there was a number of Vasu loyalists that were left behind the scenes after he was pushed out. So what's happening now is Nat Piper, who was the chief commercial officer, now oversees marketing, branding, advertising, and partnerships alongside his existing commercial duties. Heather Garbodin, chief customer officer, now reports to Piper and now owns reservations, contact centers, and service recovery. And catering.
Wow.
Which is, catering is an interesting one, given the London debacle that they finally just got resolved this week. J.C. Gulbranson is now includes airports, planning, flight operations, and the operations center. And John Bender, I'm going to butcher this, so I apologize. John Benderadis, who's coming over from Spirit, will lead technical operations. And Carolyn Clayton took over corporate communications, while Steve Newman assumed responsibility for government affairs and sustainability. People leaving include Ron Defoe in communications, Nate Gadden, government affairs, and Kevin Bricker in technical ops. And then at the end of the year, Vice Chair Steve Johnson is also going.
I find there's a bit of consolidation in some of the roles. Like you mentioned, the one woman is overseeing communications, like outside communications with basically travelers, like some of the stuff with having to do with reservations and that technology stack ish, but then also catering. That's an interesting like overlap.
Yeah. I read this press release when it came out and I felt like this was shuffling the deck chairs of the Titanic.
It's just not going to work.
Because it just doesn't address their core problem,
which is the leadership, just general leadership.
Well, their core problem is they lack a true vision, right? Like on one end, they claim they want to be a premium carrier. And we see that with the 77W that just came back from Hong Kong, 70 seats in J,
yep.
Right? That's substantial. That's more than United. But on the other end, they behave like a low-cost carrier.
Yeah.
Right? And so like you can't be both.
Where are they going to use that 77W? Is that like DFW Heathrow, London Heathrow to LA?
I don't think they've defined it, right? Traditionally, the 77Ws go to London, Sao Paulo, and Buenos Aires.
Okay.
And sometimes Sydney.
Okay. I mean, 70 seats is a lot of J.
It is. But this goes back to a conversation you and I were having, right? One of the problems that I see with AA is faring. They have a fundamental problem with the way they fare tickets. They still fare tickets like it was 30 years ago, right? With hub captive premiums, which, and they're not dynamic. Like when you look at what United does, United will start adjusting fares up until departure time to fill every seat, right? To max, because once a seat goes out empty, It's spoiled. There's nothing you can do to recover that.
And whereas United is pricing more dynamically and looking to fill that seat, even right up to door closure.
Yeah. United does not want that seat to go out empty, which, like, from a business standpoint, that's the right thing to do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. But you look at American, I see this out of Philly all the time, right? Like, they don't care. They're going to stick their laurels about charging you $400 for that ticket. Doesn't matter, right, if that seat's empty or not. They would rather fly it empty. And that's probably the fundamental problem.
I mean, it's revenue left on the table. Do you think any of these people, the shakeups, change that? Like, do you think there's anyone that's in revenue management going,
this would fall under commercial officer if it's the same guy who just got more responsibilities? I don't really see that shifting.
Yeah. So they need someone who's like focused on the revenue management side of things and unlocking more revenue.
Yeah. It's not even an issue of locking more revenue. It's just use the inventory you have.
Mm.
Right. Like if you think of AA is by far the largest domestic carrier.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of seats to fill on a daily basis and they're not.
Yeah.
But like I couldn't tell you last time I was on a United flight with an empty seat.
Yep. Even in domestic first, do you see seats go out empty?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's just leaving money on the table.
Yeah. Right, which means in your domestic first example, right, it's just that means their buy-ups are not being priced at the right price point.
Yeah.
Because there's always a price that someone will buy up.
Yep. Yep. Huh. Well, I mean, it sounds like they need less of a reorg and more of a recommittal to what they actually want to be.
Right, and like New York and LA, what do they want to do there?
Mm.
Right, like, do you want to give up? Great, get out of other people's way, or then commit.
Do you think they can actually give up New York? Do you think they can give up JFK?
I mean, they've given up so much at JFK over the years.
I feel like if they gave up JFK, especially on the transcons or some of the middle markets, it would hurt BA as well.
Maybe not.
Right? Just from you don't think from like a connecting traffic?
Philly, Chicago, Dallas. You can connect them somewhere else.
Charlotte.
But BA doesn't have service to Charlotte. Right. AA does, but BA does not.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just trying to think there's got to be some kind of middle ground, I would think.
Look, this is the fundamental problem with AA since the merger, if not before. Aside from DFW, they can't make a commitment anywhere. The only reason they're putting up a fight in Chicago is because United poked them.
Yeah.
Right. If United had not poked them, they would be down to a pier in 2 years.
Well, I mean, so we've talked about it briefly on other shows, but does giving up JFK look like expanding Philly?
Not necessarily. Like, again, they would have to make a commitment.
Yeah.
Right. The only reason like Philly sees the traffic it does is because it's the easiest. It's the place where they can run Europe routes when a short turn,
mm-hmm.
right, to maximize aircraft utilization. If they put a lot of those routes to Charlotte or whatever, they would need more aircraft. Philly allows them to increase the amount of rotations they can do.
Gotcha. Do you foresee, like, LA? LA seems, again, critical to their operation just because of Qantas and everything.
Look, aside from BA, there's nothing critical to their operation from a JV perspective, yeah. right? Like, you don't see them really doubling down with JAL. You don't really see them doubling down with Qantas. BA is the only one they are really, truly committed. And, like, this is lost opportunity.
So is Scott Kirby wrong? I mean, back in 2025, Scott Kirby said there's only two premium carriers in the United States, Delta and United.
He's not wrong. I mean, look at what the Heathrow catering debacle, right? It took 6 weeks to resolve. But they were shipping food from the U.S. to fly back. Because they had a catering problem. How they had this catering problem still is a mystery.
Mm.
Right? Like, if you have a contract that's expiring, you generally know ahead of time.
Yeah.
Right? And if you have a service delivery problem, then you deal with the vendor. But, like, what happened? And so the nice thing that came out of all this is they have switched to Doe & Co. for catering out of Heathrow, which means the experience should be a much more premium experience.
It'll be better than United's, that's for sure.
Yes. So it'll be on par with BA's premium forward cabin experience, because I don't think BA uses Doe & Co. for the back.
I don't think so. Maybe in premium economy.
Maybe. I know business and first is Doe & Co., but I don't think economy is.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm yawning. I'm so tired.
That's okay. We have no idea what time it is, really.
On top of all this, there was an AA set of flights out of Phoenix, or into Phoenix, that had the same flight number, and it caused a bit of conflict as those two flights arrived into Phoenix. That's somewhat of a dangerous situation.
Well, one was arriving, one was departing, right?
That's right. Yeah, you're right.
So it presumably, I think it was Chicago-Phoenix.
Yep.
Chicago or Phoenix, Chicago-Phoenix. And AA does this a lot where they use the same flight number out and back.
Yep.
And I guess in this case, the dispatcher didn't realize the other one was still in the air.
Yeah.
Which you would think that there'd be something on their screen that says as much?
You'd think so.
Because, like, you know, back when Channel 9 was much more prevalent, I can't tell you the number of times I was on United flights where it was a continuation of another flight, but they had to change. Like, they add a letter generally, like 901 Tango or 90 Foxtrot or something as the flight number to differentiate it from the other one in the air.
Sorry, listeners.
How this got missed, I don't know. Like, it amazed me at the layers it got missed, right? And it's a dispatcher. Then it got to into ATC, and it still kept going.
Yeah.
And it was at the controller level who finally had to do something, right?
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to mute myself real quick if I figure out where it is.
Steven's stepping out to blow his nose. So we're going to, as he's having a sneezing fit. But yeah, so definitely this Phoenix incident is a little concerning that it happened in that it shouldn't have happened. There are many, it made through many different layers where it should have been caught. And for whatever reason, it did not. So it raises an interesting question in that regards. We could have Seth just cut this out too.
Sorry about that. All right. So I think the thing that threw me off with this is it wasn't caught earlier. And it was a 4-digit flight number, which also throws it off because I don't think you can add the letter indicator from a flight computer standpoint.
Or could this be a situation where someone did add a letter and didn't know there was a 4-character limit?
And they just added it because it's like, oh, it's a different flight number. And then it never actually got added because it can only save 4 digits. Could be. But it created a dangerous situation. You can hear it in the ATC conversation. There's a lot of confusion on who they're talking to and from the controller standpoint. The pilots are trying to figure it out. They think the controller's saying the wrong thing. Controller's saying the right thing, not realizing
there's two of the same.
Yeah. So just a lot going on there. This comes on the heels of the administration saying they're going to hire gamers to be flight.
They're going to, or they already did?
It sounded like they already did. Hired a bunch of computer gamers to be controllers. None of this sounds good.
Well, I'll be on the fence about that for the moment. I mean, there's something to be said about the argument that gamers do have very good spatial awareness and the ability to manage multiple things at once. There is something to be said about that.
I'm a gamer. I would say I'm a good one. I'm old, but I'm good at it. I wouldn't want to be an air traffic controller.
But you can manage multiple reservations at the same time and cancel them.
I can cancel. On the fly.
You have a future as an air traffic controller, but you might be too old for it. That's
the problem is I'm too old for it.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Delta. So there was a flight from Las Vegas. DEF CON was this past week?
Last week, yeah. DEF CON is a big hacker conference that happens in Vegas every year. And this flight was Vegas to Atlanta. And the numbnuts on the flight decided to hijack the Wi-Fi.
But it sounds like they spoofed it. They didn't actually hijack it.
But it's fair. They spoofed the Wi-Fi, but one could argue that they hijacked it because I suspect they drove up their signal strength to overpower the onboard one.
Yes. And so Delta there was flight attendants and the crew were concerned. There was a message to the ground staff about it. Our Wi-Fi has been hijacked. People aren't able to connect. And so Delta took the step after the flight of just basically canceling everyone's Delta account, their medallion account.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And have made it so that to get your account back, you have to go through multiple steps and answer basically a questionnaire to get your account back.
Now, the feds did meet the flight when it arrived because it was being treated as a serious crime.
But now, I don't think anyone was arrested or anything like that.
Not yet. But how do you prove who did it?
Yeah, exactly. You look for the guy that has those little devices now that you can buy on Amazon that are like, they can do Wi-Fi signals. They can do all kinds of things.
Oh, the Flipper Zero?
The Flipper Zeros. Yeah, you look for the guy that has that in his backpack. But which I'm guessing, coming from DEF CON, everyone had one.
I mean, I have one, but I don't travel with it.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
Not that stupid.
Good choice. So on top of that, Delta's also in the middle of pilot negotiations, and they're not going great.
They're not off to a great start. I don't think we can say they're not going great, but I don't know all the details, but I understand there was an expedited path and the long road, and they're taking the long road.
By choice.
By choice. The union is. So I suspect that this is going to get dragged out, which, like, in a broader sense, it makes me wonder, is Delta's heyday over?
Of being like this dominant carrier? Or
of
having to renegotiate this contract and like losing a bunch of ground with their pilots.
Is this Delta's rude awakening for the hubris they've had for the last 5 years?
I think there's a few things that have been happening at Delta that are leading to that.
Right. And that's why I'm saying like their operation is unreliable at this point.
Yep.
Right. System-wide, it is a big problem. They are losing premium market because premium market share because they just wanted the premium seats.
Yep.
Right. When you look at AA and United, they have a lot more premium seats out there and they don't have enough wide bodies to do all these routes.
At this point, though, do you think you just concede Seattle? Like I've mentioned this before in the show. Do you just concede Seattle and say, we'll pull out?
They should. But they won't. They for whatever reason, they are pissed at Alaska.
And what I say concede, like, give it up, move the planes to L.A., to Atlanta, where you need premium where you need premium planes.
Or Austin.
Or Austin, where they've announced they're going to do Austin to Paris seasonally. Probably a good move. There's probably enough traffic there. Air France was running that, right, at one point?
No, I think KLM does Amsterdam.
Okay, and they do that seasonally. And because they revenue share. They need to be doing more of this type of thing. And I would argue, coming back to the original part of this conversation, it's what AA needs to be doing. Re-examine what you're doing. Find where you can maximize the fleet to have the most revenue coming out of it. And get rid of the chaff.
Well, this is what I meant when I said about AA's relationship with BA, right? They do that very well with BA. Look at St. Louis. Look at New Orleans. Like Austin, right? All these, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, all these cities that BA flies to because of the JV.
Yeah.
Right? And so they do it really well there. They don't do anything else. Yeah. Like, you look at Qantas, right? What do they have? Auckland, JFK, Sydney, San Francisco, Sydney, LA, Melbourne, LA.
DFW,
Melbourne, and Sydney.
Yeah. That's really it.
Right? And then AA will run DFW Brisbane in the winter season and DFW Auckland.
Yep.
Like there is opportunity there.
Yeah. And I would argue like even some of the stuff to Europe, they could optimize, like get Iberia to come in. They have the JV with Iberia, don't they?
They do.
So like get Iberia to help out, feed stuff to Iberia, to Southern Europe.
In a very small way, right? With the 321s, we see Boston, Newark, Madrid now.
True.
Right? But these are markets that are well-served. Yeah. Like, why not do Dulles, Madrid?
Yeah.
Right? Like, Baltimore, Madrid, right? There's so many options.
Yeah.
It's just they're not, for whatever reason, they're just not that strategic.
So, and again, I think this is Delta's problem, too, is that they've done it on a few routes where they've said, okay, like Portland to Amsterdam. They gave that up to KLM. KLM doesn't run it daily. That's fine. It works. They're revenue sharing. But do more of that. You've got Air France that you can do that with Europe. You've got Korean Air that you could do that to Asia. But they're like, okay, we're going to open up Narita now.
But Delta has a different problem than AA in that Delta has hubris thinking they're the best.
Mm.
Right? I don't think AA thinks they're the best, to be honest. Their behavior doesn't indicate as much.
True. How do you solve Delta's problem and remove the hubris and start flying more routes?
I think we're watching it in play right now. Like all their decisions are catching up with them, right? And so I think this pilot negotiation is going to be bad for them and bad for the customers more so them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I think the people who are going to get caught up in the middle of it is going to be the passengers. And it reminds me of the AA pilot strike of the 90s.
Do you think we see a strike?
I think we will.
I think we get close. I don't know that we see a strike.
I think it all depends on what fuel does.
Yeah.
Right? Like if fuel doesn't come down anytime soon, that's like there's only so much money on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that Delta going after Austin is also the right move? Because I'm on the fence. What I've read and what the data says is that the Austin market has softened and continues to soften. It got really expensive really fast during COVID because tech was moving there. A lot of growth. That's come down a little bit. There's still some growth, but definitely like housing and things has gone down.
Well, tech is shrinking. That's the reality, right? Like when you look at some of these industries, right? Like you look at Houston and Dallas and Austin. Houston is energy, lots of money. And it's also what I'll define old school travel policies where they pay for J.
Yeah.
Right? Most tech companies, the best you'll get is PE.
Yeah.
right? So there isn't high revenue
yep.
or high margin flying in the where tech is based, right? San Francisco is probably somewhat of an anomaly, but even then it's not.
Depends on who you work for type thing.
Yeah. And the margins aren't that high in San Francisco, right? And Dallas is a lot of Fortune 100 headquarters, right?
It's also old money. A lot of old
money. And it's a lot of old energy money as well.
Yep.
Right? And that's, again, old school travel policy.
Yep.
Austin is not that.
That's what worries me with Delta's move to like make a little mini hub there. I don't think it has the population over time. It's kind of like Portland. It's still a small-ish city when you think about it. Maybe from a, if you look at like the Austin San Antonio Metroplex, it's kind of can, you could call it a bigger city, but it's still a hell of a drive from San Antonio to Austin Airport.
Yeah. Look, I look at it this way, right? When you both American and United have very close hubs.
Yep.
And they've opted to stay, move the majority of their traffic through those major hubs in and out of Austin. Now, Delta did, I assume American did try a mini hub and they eventually pulled back. I don't think the margins or the businesses there.
Yeah.
Because if it was, like, the two dominant Texas carriers
would have been there.
Would have entered much earlier.
It's almost like they need Air France to come in and handle the service three times a week or four times a week, even in the summer.
Maybe, but like...
Like, why are you committing a plane to it, is my point.
Because they want to show they're committed to the market, right? This is a little bit of a chicken and egg problem where it's not going to be... You're going to have success by having more options.
Yeah.
Right? But you don't know if you're going to be successful unless those options are there. And like Atlanta Riyadh is a great example, right? Like those flights are empty to the point where you can book them for 30,000 sky miles round trip in economy right now.
Yeah.
Like you can't even find a domestic flight for 30,000 miles.
But that's because they're hoping that this partnership takes off, right?
Well, it's a subsidized route, undoubtedly, right? And so they're trying it because it's subsidized. But at the end of the day, if people were buying those seats, the 30,000 mile option wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
It tells you that no one is buying those seats.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I look at what Delta is doing and I think they're leaving money on the table. I think Seattle is still a money loser.
I don't think they're losing. I don't think they're leaving money on the table. I think they're throwing money away.
Because they just are burning money in places they shouldn't be.
Yeah. Focus the business.
Yeah.
Like you have certain places where you're strong. Just own it and accept it. I think LA is going to be another disaster for them, right? And there's rumors that they're about to start LA Singapore or announce LA Singapore. They're doing Manila, right? And they're doing Hong Kong. The loads on Hong Kong are light from what I understand.
Yeah. It's like pick things that you, I mean, you don't have the market presence in either, any of those three that you mentioned. Singapore, you have no history there really. Northwest, maybe.
Not even though. Northwest was a tag flight.
Yeah. So you're not known there. There's no connecting feed on the Singapore end. Who are you gonna connect to? Same with Manila. If you're trying to serve Southeast Asia, pick a partner and figure it out.
Well, but okay. So, but going back to the Seattle thing, why are you doing some stuff out of Seattle and some stuff out of LA?
Yeah, you're splitting the markets.
Yeah.
Consolidate it and commit.
Make up your mind. Stick to one.
Yeah. Who do they have any partners in Southeast Asia? Is there any besides Korea and
Vietnam?
Vietnam Airlines. That would be great. Start LA, Ho Chi Minh City. Imagine that. You have a partner. Maybe even build up a JV with them. Let them serve. I mean, why am I doing their work for them?
Well, Houston retired, right?
Yeah.
He was the brainchild. I think that's the biggest thing that this we'll see of Delta is they're going to start stumbling now that Houston's gone.
Yeah.
Right. He has been the force behind the scenes that has brought Delta to where it was.
Yeah. I mean, just, I'm thinking about let's go back to Vietnam. I'm thinking about what's happening politically, because let's talk about Apple moving stuff out of China. They're looking for places to move it. A lot of it's going to Vietnam. Some's going to India. Some's going to Sri Lanka. It's moving around.
But would LA, Vietnam make sense for Apple when they're in the Bay Area?
Maybe not. Maybe, but there's already a Vietnam Airlines flight from San Francisco.
Right, but like if the demand is there, United will start it, right?
If they want the nonstop. But I'm saying if you wanted to have like a partnership where it's like, okay, you fly Vietnam Airlines and then you connect to...
But United and Apple have a very long-standing relationship and like that's what Hangzhou was all about, right? It was all about Apple.
But then, yeah.
But what about other tech companies? There's others that are moving their fabs and things.
Absolutely. There's opportunity there, right? But when you look at the business base in LA and you look at the business base in Seattle, are either of them right for a lot of Asia travel, premium Asia travel?
I would say the only thing about Seattle is Amazon.
But Amazon's cheap. They don't like paying for business.
And Microsoft.
Okay.
But you're not manufacturing much for Microsoft.
Like, what's the need to go to Asia?
Maybe the Surface laptops.
Yeah, and that's how, like, what percentage of the business? Yeah. A percent, maybe?
LA, I can't think. I mean, you got chip manufacturers, maybe, and car manufacturers.
The thing about LA and Seattle is it's all about connections. That's the point that I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Right? You're never going to fill those with premium O&D. You need to get connections. And now, with the approach Delta's taking, they're splitting their connection base between two different hubs.
And if I had to choose one of those two, I'd be choosing LA.
Yeah, but like, they're starting Seattle and Newark, but not LA. But they're starting LA and Newark too at some point.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. They're starting LA Newark, but not Seattle and Newark. I had them backwards.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, like, you're splitting the operation.
Yeah.
Make up your mind.
Yep. Yeah. I'm with you. Interesting times. More airports are going with private security.
Yeah. The three latest are Des Moines, Iowa, Charleston, South Carolina, and Tampa.
Huh. Tampa.
Yeah.
That's an interesting choice.
It's like the one big one.
Yeah. Des Moines is a small airport.
It's a tiny airport.
So I'm guessing they just said from a cost savings perspective, we could probably do this cheaper than TSA.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
Charleston, South Carolina.
Similar. Also small. Yeah. I mean, how do you feel about more of the private security stuff, less of the TSA?
I mean, San Francisco's been private for a long time.
Yeah.
I've never really had an issue there. In some ways, I find it better because they're, and maybe it's the jaded, like, Easterner in me. I find them just to be more pleasant.
They're more pleasant, and they seem to be a little bit more efficient, I feel like, when they're getting people through. Like, I've never really stood in a long security line at SFO.
Yeah.
Even if you're at a long way, it moves fairly quickly.
I mean, government has never known to be efficient, so.
This is true.
It tracks.
It's true. So we'll see who comes next. I could see Portland maybe doing this, depending on price and, you know, things like that. I could see that. We'll see what the future holds.
Only time will tell.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No.
All right. Patreon supporters, we're going to talk about Columbo getting here, my fiasco. Stick around for that. If you're not a supporter, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next time. Happy travels.
Take care.